The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, I am on with the lovely, the irrepressible, the world famous Tracy Thompson. That's just what her friends call her, by the way. Her enemies have a different last name for her. Feel free to reach out to her and ask her what that is. so
inside
today,
joke.
Yes, that is. Well, and again, but it could be outside. You just have to reach out to Tracy to see if she'll share. Anyway, we were on our weekly call last week or yesterday, and we were talking about one of the things that drives me nuts, and I think it resonated with Tracy, and we're like, we should bring this to Cleaning Nation. So the background is we together, I mean, holy heck, Tracy, conservatively thousands of owners of cleaning companies, both one-on-ones and groups. Yeah. So you start seeing trends. We may be dumb, but we're not stupid. After a minute, you start recognizing the things that are consistent with people to get the results in the lives that they want. And unfortunately, the things that are consistent with people that don't get the lives and the results that they want. So one of the big ones for me, and I'm dying to hear, we've experienced this separately, but have not shared kind of our separate experiences. So y'all get to enjoy that with us as we do. But for me, I talk to a lot of people before their clients. Once they're clients and they've paid and they're in, the commitment level is usually pretty good. But prior to them becoming clients, they wobble, right? They just get wobbly. And everybody says they're committed until you ask them to do something outside of their comfort zone or scary or different than what they've been doing. And that could be spending money, changing a lifestyle, changing a thought habit, changing a commitment, generally changing whatever the case may be. And for me, I have found the people that are all in committed, you don't have to drag or convince to make a change or a decision today, this instant, right now. They come with batteries included. It's already written on their heart. I got to fix this now. The people that are interested, you know, like I'm interested in being a millionaire, so I'll play the lottery kind of interested. They've got a lot of reasons tomorrow's better, right? They should wait and let's hold on and let's not go too fast. And we got to look at this from 74 different angles. So the tagline I had that Tracy's eyes lit up, and I'm dying to hear her feedback because I haven't yet, is tomorrow will kill you, right? Tomorrow is the opposite of complete. Let's go, right? That's when every diet starts, every big change in life starts tomorrow. That's been my experience, Tracy. I would love to hear your insight.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Love the tomorrow will kill you. Here's the irony. I'm about to blow everyone's mind. Here it is. Ready?
Hold on. Let me sit down.
Hold on. All right,
I got a pen. Okay. I'm ready to take some notes. Go, girl.
Tomorrow doesn't exist.
I'm writing that down.
Tomorrow, right now, tomorrow doesn't exist. Only right now ever exists. And so when we tell ourselves, tomorrow, it's really never tomorrow. Even when it's tomorrow, it's not tomorrow. It's right this red hot second when you decide to do something and take action. That's when it happens. It never happens tomorrow. There's the irony. So
that's such a good point. And I've got things, but you continue. I've got thoughts. I'm formulating. You continue.
So I point that out as much as that in one way is like, well, duh. Okay. Yeah. So it's not as obvious when we're in a challenging situation right now, when we are right now being asked to either of ourselves or someone else to make a move, to take an action, to do the thing that's scary, to break an old habit, to take a quote risk, what feels like a risk, right? That only ever happens in the moment that we make that decision. But when confronted with that said decision, it is so easy for our, what we call the monkey mind, right? For that part of us that says, oh, no, 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 that doesn't feel safe. That's scary. That doesn't, you know, that feels like too much right now. So I'm going to justify with all kinds of stuff that sounds logical that I should think about it. I should consider it. I should analyze the heck out of it. I should ask 50 other people what they think. They, you know, all of these excuses for why tomorrow is better. It will eat your lunch because tomorrow never comes and it's never the right time. And that's the trap. That is the tomorrow trap.
Well, and here's the sad part is we think we're putting off making a decision. That's not the truth. The truth is you are deciding right now to sign up for more pain.
That's and exactly.
If tomorrow does come and you actually make a decision tomorrow, which you never do, but let's just say you do, that's fine. You're saying, I would like to stay in this pain another day. If the reality happens, which is 99% of the time, it's not tomorrow. It's a week or it's, we wait for something catastrophic to happen. Then we go, oh, okay. So we really get to decide how much pain that we'd like. So if you're an Anthony Robbins fan, you'll believe your perception of the pain to stay the same is greater than your perception of the pain to change.
Right.
The weird thing is almost universally, and tell me if your experience has been different, Tracy, either personally or with people that you coach, almost universally, when we do make the decision mm-hmm. to change, it doesn't feel bad. It feels fantastic. So I'm going to figure it out tomorrow. I'm going to talk to my wife, my wife's brother, psychic, my wife's brother, psychic's dog's caretaker. Feels like garbage because we're so disempowering, right? And you know, it's somewhere in your heart. You're like, I know I'm signing up for another day, another week, another month of this life that I can't stand. And I think we think it's going to be painful to decide. It's never painful to decide. It's really the fear of what if I decide I've been burned. So the deciding feels good, but what if I decide and get burned again? So tell me about that. And first of all, A, is that premise even ring true to you? And then B, how would you respond to someone that does have that premise of I'm going to get burned again?
Yes. So yeah, it absolutely resonates. I mean, it strikes right at the core of why we tell ourselves a lie that tomorrow is better anyway, is because right now the fear of that said failure, what if I get burned? What if something bad happens, takes over. And no matter how much we say to ourselves, have been saying to ourselves, I'm going to do this. Oh no, you don't understand, Mike, it's going to happen. It has to happen, but it hasn't. And it hasn't because you haven't really decided. What I find is that in that moment, when you decide one way or definitively, you take authority and you decide consciously, no, I'm not going to do it because of this, this, and this. And yes, I am absolutely choosing my own misery for another however long. At least that would be conscious. Most of us don't do that. As you said, they wait until life chooses for them and then they react.
And but life almost never chooses what you want. Almost never.
Right. And I have a saying, you don't get what you don't ask for or you don't take in your own life. And what you do get, you don't want because you didn't ask for it.
So
right. So this really all boils down to that moment where we say, you know what? No, I'm making this conscious decision. I'm choosing and I'm going to take this authority position in my own life. And whatever comes, I am building trust in myself. This is the key, Mike. What they're really saying is, oh, I've been burned in the past, but that's code for now I don't trust myself.
Exactly right.
I don't trust myself. They may project, you may be out there thinking, oh no, you don't understand. So-and-so did this and such happened and all these external
things. Or COVID or that guy quit or whatever external thing that you can't control.
Right, right. But the truth is, and this is from me being a mindset coach for years, is the truth is what you're really afraid of is I don't trust myself. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The only way you're ever going to break that cycle of fear and mistrust of oneself, of yourself, is to start strengthening that muscle by making a decision today, right now, and taking an action and building up that trust with yourself again, that you A, will survive if it goes wrong. It's okay. But we have a saying around here, the crappy 1.0 is better than the no 0.0, right? So even if it doesn't turn out the way you want, making a decision, taking an action puts you in charge, and not life or the other people or COVID or the government or whatever. If you want them to be in charge, okay. But if you want to be in charge, you have to be willing to strengthen that self-trust muscle.
And I know for a lot of us, it feels like if we look back at turning points in our lives, getting married, losing weight, getting off drugs, quitting our job, you know, betting on ourselves, whatever that looks like in your life, we feel like, let's use weight because that's a perfect one where a lot of people go back and forth. And coming from a chubby guy with an extra 20 pounds, when we do make that decision, it may feel like, you know, I was on drugs for 10 years and, you know, you, truth be told, you may have made, felt like you made decisions several times over that 10 years. I got to stop or get out of a relationship that's unhealthy or whatever that looks like for you. But you know, as well as I do, every single decision we've ever made in the past was made in a moment. We never made it over 10 years. Well, it may have taken 10 years to come to the point where you make a final effing decision,
right?
But that decision always happens in a moment, period.
Right.
So even if you've made 7 decisions before that you don't feel served you in the past, if you really want out, whether it's the 8th decision you have to make or the 19th decision you have to make. And again, I'm going to argue that they weren't decisions until the last one was a decision. But if you made many commitments, let's call it, that you went back on for whatever reason, if you're really committed, you're like, if I have to go back on 1,000 times of my word, I shall be back because I have to get this to change. That's commitment. And if you're merely interested, you'll do a couple things. It gets hard. And you're like, all right, I'll just be fat. I'll just be in this bad relationship. I'll just die of drugs, whatever that looks like for me. Mm-hmm. The flip side is, and I think you alluded to this, Tracy, so many of us are afraid if we make a decision, it'll be quote unquote a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if tomorrow doesn't exist, bad decisions don't exist. There are only decisions that get results that you like, or right, decisions that get results that you don't like. That's all. And let me, here's a big secret, kids. This is, I think I got this from Tracy. If you make a decision that doesn't get you the results that you want, you know how you fix that? Not by freaking sitting around waiting for tomorrow to change that pain. You fix it with another freaking decision. So if a problem was created by a decision, if that decision was, I'm going to wait, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to whatever, that fine. Those are all decisions. So there is no such thing as I'm going to wait and make a decision tomorrow. You just made a decision, dude. Like, that's fine, but just own it. You don't have to, and you're like, I don't like that. I know you don't, but it wasn't a bad decision. It was just a decision that's not going to get you the results that you want. So two things. One, it might take many small commitments that weren't decisive and once and for all to quit drugs. And if it takes 1,000 of those to save your life and get off drugs, by God, make 1,000 of them, right? And if you make a decision that doesn't get you the results that I want, you fix that with a decision. Lack of decision is never going to fix anything. There. All right. Stepping down off my soapbox. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. It's, as I said, it's, if you think of it like a muscle, you don't go to the gym once and go, that's it, I'm done. You know, I never have to go back. I never have to. It's an exercise. It's a practice. And I think what happens to a lot of people, Mike, is that they go to make a big decision, but they haven't been taking authority in those smaller decisions every day, being conscious every day, building up that decision-making, action-taking muscle. And so when the big decision happens,
let me jump in and give as opposed to a hypothetical, let's use a big decision so we can kind of give people like, okay, that's what that looks like. So, you know, as well as I do, for us, I would say, well, I'd love to hear if you think I'm missing or if we're on the same page, the biggest decision people come to us to make. And again, there's all sorts of, I'm just starting, I'm going to go full time. Mm-hmm. I want to add a salesperson. I want to go from 1 million to 2 million. Those are all fine. But by far, hands down, the biggest decision people make, and they think it's systems, processes, whatever, which is a part of it. But the decision is, I am not going to clean ever again as of this day, period. So they come to us going, Mike, tell me how to get out of cleaning. And step one is always make the decision, right? So if you're interested in stopping cleaning, you're like, well, unless I feel like my clients won't get enough work, or they demand it's me, or my employees will never screw up, or we make a long list of things that of course make it impossible. I'll get married as long as I don't have to give up any of my freedoms or think of someone else in my life or sharing in my money or stop having sex with other people. If I can do that, I'll get married. Like, okay, let's just be honest. It's not a dude that wants to get married, right? Like, that's fine. Like, just let's be clear. So I'll get out of cleaning as long as I don't have to deal with any pain in the butt employees. Nothing ever goes wrong with the cleaning quality. No, nobody ever complains. No one ever quits. Okay, that's not a dude that's decided to get out of cleaning. So let's take that. And again, they come to us going, tell me how to get out of cleaning. Give me the magic pill. And we always kind of go, the magic pill is making that decision. Then we'll give you the tool. The tools and processes and systems that we have are golden once you've made that decision, and worthless until you've made that decision. So what you were saying, let's start that over with the specific decision of, I am going to stop cleaning, or I'm going to put off getting out of cleaning, or put off hiring, or put off making a commitment not to clean, which is still making a decision to, I'm going to clean tomorrow. Talk to me, baby.
So this is a great one. And I work with our next level and our millionaire mastermind people on some aspect of this very topic all the time. And so I've kind of cultivated a saying, and it goes like this. If you have in your mind, there's conditions. It's a conditional commitment. I will get out of cleaning if this doesn't happen, if this does happen, whatever the case may be.
So we're modifying it. Tomorrow will kill you, and if will kill you. I will do X. I will get married if I have the perfect wife who never bitches and blah, 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 blah. Okay, good luck with that.
Exactly. It's like if, when, you know, all of those are criteria that erode our commitment. So this is similar to tomorrow. It's the same philosophy. Until you've decided, and here's the distinction I find, is it's not a decision about an external thing. It's a decision about who you're going to be. I am an owner of a cleaning company that does not clean. That's an identity. When you adopt an identity, it's in the fabric of who you are. So the saying goes, if you have a plan B, it's not going to be me, right? My plan B is not me. You cannot make the criteria, oh yeah, I'm an owner who doesn't clean except if this happens or this happens or, you know, right? It cannot be that. It's burn the boats. What if there's just you, God forbid, you had an accident and you couldn't clean. Your doctor said you will not clean again. You would find a way. That would become your identity. So rather than leave all these open windows for you to go right through the second things get hard, make the decision, make it part of your identity, and then operate as if that identity was the only one that existed from that point forward. And I promise you, that's how you take powerful, powerful action with that kind of commitment. Make it your identity.
And let me give you how that looks both ways. Because again, mm-hmm. this is all Tracy and I talk to all, and it's not always about cleaning, but some version of this right. thing. So there's two ways to do it. I'd really like to get out of cleaning. I mean, you don't understand, Mike. I am sick of it. I really want to. I'll do anything. Great. Mm-hmm. What if, now that's not an identity statement, right? That's a statement of wish to the world. Great. What if people show up and something's not going to get cleaned if you don't get clean? Well, obviously, then I'd clean.
Yeah, then I would go back out.
That's not an identity statement. That's a wish in the world. I'd like to have a $1 million business as long as it doesn't mean I have to invest in myself, change who I am, how I think, who I spend time with, what do I do? If I don't have to change any of those things, I want to. Yeah, now we're into wish land, not. Whereas if I go, I do not clean. I'm an owner of a cleaning company. Perfect example for me is I had a car dealership. You know how many brake jobs I did? That would be none, because I would kill myself, others, maybe the neighbor. I don't know. People would, it would be carnage. Like I would find a way to drop the car myself. Anyway, so I had an identity. And again, if I had to figure out how to do a brake job, I'm sure I got the Googles, right? I got two hands. I have money. I could buy a tool. I'm sure I could figure it out, right? But my identity was, the world will end. Bad things will happen if I do a brake job. Therefore, I did zero brake jobs. So if your identity, and again, I had the benefit of easily believing I could not do a brake job. It's pretty easy sale for myself. I can't clean is a harder identity. But if you had the identity of I don't clean, well, what if people don't show up and something's not going to get cleaned? The identity of I don't clean is I don't clean.
I don't clean.
Right? Like if my wife and I, you know, she, you know, has no uterus at this point in her life. So if it's, I don't go, well, I guess I'll do it. Like I have an identity of a man who's not able to give birth regardless of the circumstance.
We're going to have to figure out something else.
Right. We have our little guy we adopted. It's fantastic. But at no point did I go, well, I guess I'll have to start menstruating. Like that's just not a belief I have. And I'm not even trying to get, I'm like, holy crap. Somehow I just said something I thought was obvious, but we wandered into politics. But either way, that identity of, it's not hard for me to fight, like smoking, right? If mm-hmm. Tracy offered me cigarettes right now, I don't have to go, well, are other people smoking? What time of day is it? I've had a good, I'm not a smoker. So I would just go, oh, I don't smoke. I don't, there's no thought. There's no, it's not even hard for me, right? I just, right. Oh no, I don't smoke. Like, it's not like we have a debate. Well, maybe I should take it up today. Like it just, my identity is not a smoker. I don't have to well, what if I don't smoke?
And I think the challenging part is that when people start out that way though, and I think, I mean, let's be real. Many of the cleaning company owners start cleaning. Mm-hmm. So in this scenario, they start as a smoker, let's say, and then they have to separate them, divorce themselves from that identity in order to not go back. So it's, so think about it. It's like, hi, my name is Tracy Thompson. I'm a recovering cleaner.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 weeks since I've cleaned. So there
does. But the identity is the same. If I'm a smoker and I smoke, and in my mind, I'm a guy trying to quit smoking.
Right.
If I've had a couple of drinks, if all my friends, right. if the stars align, I'm smoking. Let's do this. Right. I've never smoked. I'm guessing. But at some point, I change, even having smoked, to a guy who goes, oh, I don't smoke.
So
there's the behavior modification. I'd really like to stop coke. And you can white knuckle that thing for a while, but at some point you're going to smoke. But once you have that identity, it's almost like when you switch countries, you start dreaming in that new language, you now identify as like, I'm a Spanish speaker as opposed to a guy who's learning Spanish. That identity shifts. So right. Whether it's speaking Spanish or stopping smoking, even if you have smoked, you can't go, I'm a guy trying to quit smoking, or a smoker who's not going to smoke today. That's the smoker who's going to smoke tomorrow.
I'm a cleaner who's not trying to stop cleaning. That doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't clean. I don't.
Yeah. Right.
I don't do that. All right, man, we are already out of time. Wrap it up. If is going to kill you, tomorrow's going to kill you. For those that are like, okay, I get it. I agree with everything, but I'm a little, what's the next step? Let's try and end with some action items, sister.
So do something today. Do something, make a decision that you've been thinking about for a long time. You know, everybody has at least one. And it doesn't have to be big and huge and scary. It can be, but take one, make one decision today that you've been debating and take an action. Never leave the scene of a decision without taking one action immediately towards that, and adopt a new identity that goes along with that decision.
I'll make it even easier. Some of the stuff I do with my one-on-one, when I did one-on-one coaching, is one of the first action items I would say is when you go to eat, decide immediately within 30 seconds what you're going to have.
Perfect.
I think I did that 20 years ago. Drives me nuts when people spend I'm like, that is 7 minutes of your life. You're never going to get back. God forbid you eat out every night. That's like a year of your life going, what are you going to have? I don't know. I feel like, have you had the fish? I don't know about the fish. I freaking make a decision. Stupid, easy, doable, but it is a muscle. If you can make that decision, you'll find yourself finding other decisions to make. All right, guys, gals, if this is scratched where you've itched and you said, holy heck, I think that's good, but I need more, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There are over 700 podcasts. I've written 2 books. I would definitely start with the masterclass. It is on demand. It is the 5 shifts that you need to make. It is probably the best 40 minutes of content we've got out there. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431.
602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.